everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
And I'm Tammy DeRozier.
And it's Wednesday, February 8th, 2017.
That's right. 2017, February 8th, and feels like it's May 8th here in Richmond.
Yeah.
People up north are getting snow, but we are at 75 degrees today.
75 degrees, fantastic. I'm taking the top down of my car.
Mm-hmm.
I got shorts on. And then by tomorrow afternoon, it's going to be 30.
That's right.
Can you believe this?
Yeah. Swings all over the place.
Flowers are coming up.
That's right. Flowers coming up, swings everywhere. And at least the market so far this year is not having these wild swings like we were last year. I mean, last year, it was a rough start to 2016.
It was a terrible 20%. Start. Man, yeah. I'm telling you what, it was a ski slope on the way down, not up.
That's right. And this year, things have been kind of... It just feels really quiet, you know? It just kind of plods along, and then, you know, you look at charts of, like, the Dow and the S&P, and they're hitting these new all-time highs. I mean, you look at that default chart, which is 50 points per box on the Dow, and you look at that and just say, wow, look at that big base that it's built and breaking out of that. And the price objective, interestingly enough, is 20,950, so almost 21,000 on the Dow for the next price objective.
You know what's kind of interesting too, Tammy, and you brought this to my attention, and it slipped away from me, the PDP, our technical leaders, which we were pretty much the first ones in smart beta, and this goes back to 2007, and its 10th year anniversary is coming up.
That's right. The 10-year anniversary on March 1st, 2007 is coming up. I remember you up there ringing the bell
that. Really cool. I remember the president of the New York Stock Exchange was a lady. She had a very deep red dress on that time, which made me think of like China, that's the lucky color of China. And I thought of that when she was wearing red. I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is going to be lucky for us too.
Right.
And... we couldn't have, well, according to the media, we couldn't have brought the PDP at a worse time.
That's
right. All hell broke loose on the downside.
I was going to say, it was the first day the market had been down like triple digits in years and was down 200 points that day.
Yep.
You know, but the PDP, what's interesting is the fact that it's constantly moving. And I think your analogy, Tommy, of the watch is really encompasses what that PDP is all about. And the fact that, you know, on the outside, you look at the watch and you can say, wow, it's, you know, 12:08. But on the inside, there's a lot of gears that are changing and moving and things that are happening underneath the surface that you're always trying to get in sync with whatever trends the market is going. So if energy is the hot sector, you can get overweighted in energy. If it's financials, you can get overweighted in financials.
You know, I've forgotten about that watch analogy.
Yeah, and I think it's a great one because it's really what's happening.
Of course it is, Tammy.
In that.
You know I'm coming up with analogies all the time.
I know you're the king of analogies. You're the king of analogies.
No, that is good. When you think about all those little things that are spinning around under there, it's like Santa's little workshop and it just doesn't stop. It continues going. And here it is 10 years on our performance. 10-year basis, all the fees and things are taken out from the inside, and you're up 76% versus the Standard & Poor's cap weight is up 58%, and that's what you're compared to. Everyone is compared to the Standard & Poor's cap weight. What customers, in fact, I saw a chart as I was walking by. I stopped for a moment at this seminar that was being held at the ETF conference a few weeks ago. And this seminar was, I don't know what it was, but I saw this chart that they had about passive investing, and it's like parabolic. I mean, people are interested in passive investing, plain and simple. That's the fastest growing method of investing right now. And I'll tell you, you know, when you look at the Standard & Poor's 500, that's what people think about. Pit me against the S&P 500. No one knows that there's two S&P 500s. I was in Tennessee a few months ago talking to a branch manager, and I asked her, I said, do you know there are two S&P 500s? She said, no.
That's right.
So why would there only be $12 billion in the RSP, which is the S&P equal weight, and $228 billion in the S&P cap weight, when the S&P equal weight beats it hand down?
Right.
Last 16 years... S&P weights been a big winner.
That's right. And I think that when you think about, like you said, passive investing, people are looking for strategies that they can put into the portfolio as a core and leave them there. Mm-hmm. And that's where putting that cake together and that mixture, and, you know, where do you want cap weighted? Where do you want equal weighted? Where do you want momentum weighted? What about buyback strategy? You know, putting all of these things together to make a cake. And underneath them, they've got a strategy that's going on. The watch is working. But what you've done is be the chef of how you put all of that together, and how do those pieces mix up, and how do you put PDP with SPLV and Lowball? Do you need to change it? But because underneath the surface, both of those products have things that are changing just like you want them to. But yet, you're not changing the portfolio all the time. They're doing it within inside the wrapper for you.
Yes, but I think you can get, you know, the older I get, the more I get like John Bogle and Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett in a certain way, in that he likes indexing. You can never be Warren Buffett type investor because he's very concentrated in positions, and compliance would not allow you to do that. But John Bogle wants you to drive as straight a line as possible. And the older I get, the more that makes sense to me. And you don't want to have that discussion with a customer at the end of the year when you've done all the right things in the portfolio, except you had biotechnology. Mm-hmm. And you had the biotechnology ETF, and it collapsed, and it upset the performance of the portfolio. You don't want that conversation with the customer. Mm-hmm. So with the ability to be a smart indexer, why would you want that? Why would you even want to enter into that world? I've become, Tammy, the chicken adobo king.
Oh.
Do you know what that is?
No. What is that?
That's Philippines' favorite dish. Well, any restaurant that you go to, you're going to find that there. And in the Far East, in Vietnam, you find it and whatnot. Simplest recipe in the world. Simplicity. That's mm-hmm. what I think about this thing. Simplicity is a cup of vinegar, a cup of soy sauce, and some garlic. Mm-hmm. And not much more than that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the chicken. Well, and you can't beat that thing. I'm telling you what, you want it for breakfast. But the simplicity of it is what I love.
That's right. Well, you know, it's kind of like Chopped. You know, we're both food TV watchers. That when they come on, the people that do the best are the ones that highlight the flavor of whatever those basket ingredients are versus try to hide them. And so that's really what it's all about. Like you said,
that's
it's highlighting
comment.
The flavor, you know, and instead of trying to hide it, you know. But, you know, Tommy, when you were saying something about having, you know, a sector that goes down in the portfolio on you, I want to bring up a new ETF that's based on a Dorsey Wright index with ALPS. The symbol is SWIN, and it's an interesting strategy because what it does is look at the 10 broad...
SWIN.
Is it looks at the 10 broad economic sectors and says, you know, we want to participate in the market, but what we want to do is eliminate those bottom three, because what we know from all these years of research with relative strength is that, you know, if you get rid of those bottom ones that are the real drag on the portfolios, these things that are skewed to the losers on the left-hand side, and then you can participate with the market. And then we're going to slightly overweight the ones that are at the top,
okay.
The ones that are slightly at the top, going to overweight those a little bit, but you're going to have exposure to 70%, and you're just going to get rid of those bad ingredients down
what
there.
What did Fama French say? The guys you could attach modern portfolio theory to the most, that probably had the most effect on putting money into it, in their white paper, what'd they say?
I'm not sure.
In
tell
the
me.
End. You know exactly.
I'm sure I know it, but... Hmm.
Stocks that had done poorly have a tendency to continue doing poorly.
Right.
Stocks that have done well
have a
tendency to continue doing well. So what are we looking at here?
Yeah.
This is basic physics. Things in motion tend to stay in motion until acted upon by an opposite force.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're saying here is, just like Fama French, who everyone loves and everybody wants to do modern portfolio theory, and oh, gee, listen to all the, you know, that's what we got our degree from Harvard in and all that stuff. No. What they said was momentum was the one anomaly that did better than those things. So if that's the case... What you're saying there is exactly what Fama French said. Mm-hmm. Things in motion tend to stay in motion. So things that are in motion negatively have a tendency to continue doing that.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So what do we often say about if we had 100 golfers, the best golfers in the world, listed 1 to 100, and I came to you and I said, Tammy, I want you to pick the 5 that you think will be at the top at the end of next quarter. That's 3 months.
I'm going to pick the top 5.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
Right.
Why? would you go down to the bottom and say, I think Joe Blow here is going to get his act together and work his way all the way up through the 100 over the next 3 months? He may ultimately do that.
That's right.
He may have the skills to do that, but not over the next 3 months.
Exactly.
That's why managing a 401k, those people that don't have help with a 401k, you take the lineup of what you have in that 401k, and each month you rank them from best performance to worst performance, take the top five best performers, carry them forward to the next quarter.
There you go.
What are we doing? Exactly what Farmer French said to do, exactly what physics says to do. Things in motion tend to stay in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically supply and demand.
That's right.
Demand will stay in motion until supply overtakes it.
And, you know, and you can take your 401k, you know, choices, put them into a matrix and set an alert to send you an email.
Absolutely.
I got an alert.
That's the beauty of the technology that we have at DWA.
That's right. I got an email just yesterday that I set for the OEX 100 matrix. Again, 100 stocks, names that people, everybody knows, your customers all know.
Yep.
I said, I want to know anytime a new stock moves in the top 25. So anytime something moves in the top quartile, just let me know, just to make sure that I'm looking in the chart, I'm aware of what's going on with that chart. And you know what stock showed up on my alert?
Which one?
Apple.
Apple moved up.
Yeah. After all the negative comments about the earnings and stuff like
that.
Well, it just happened yesterday. So.
Well, see, we need to sit down. Some of the alerts and things that you have, I need to have them also. But that is a great idea. And
just
you have a system on our system, a DWA system, you can do that. I love that concept.
Yeah.
I wonder what other analysts in here do that you just don't think to tell anybody else.
I know.
I have a lot of alerts. One of the things that I like to set an alert on is when the weekly momentum turns from negative to positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at a particular stock. It's a great chart, nice pullback. That pullback is probably because its weekly momentum turned negative,
right,
and it pulls back. I want to know when that weekly momentum turns positive. So I just click send me an alert. I get an email. When it turns positive, the order goes in to buy it.
There you go. Exactly. These are things that I wanted to buy anyways. Now I'm just trying to hone that in a little bit better. Exactly. Well, if you all have that, listeners here at the podcast, have interesting alerts that you have set or interesting things that you follow, send us an email.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we can share that.
And most people don't even realize that. If you pull up a chart and you look at left-hand side of that chart and you see set alert, and there's all kinds of things you can set there, and then set activity alert. That's where you'll find weekly momentum and negative. Just press on that and you'll see what you can do. And you can take all your customers' portfolios, all their stocks, and set alerts on every one of them.
Right.
And
that's
then
how
don't
I
think about
them.
It anymore. Just wait until you get an email that says, you said you wanted to be awakened. It's like putting a stop order in.
Yeah.
Leave the order asleep until that price is hit, then awaken it. Well,
that's
awaken
right.
me.
Awaken me. Let me know that something's happened.
I like that term.
Yeah. Exactly. So, all right. Well, we'll see if we get any emails this week.
Don't you have anything cool to talk about anymore? That's enough for 1 week?
That's all I had is...
I'm going to go set that alert on the top 25
alert.
Thing.
There we go. That sounds good.
That is cool.
All right.
See you next week.